Come on, if you know you can't make it without the Lord, give God one more hand clap of praise in the house today. Amen. Even as you go to your seat, won't you just turn to your neighbor and say, I can't make it without the Lord. I can't make it without the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 10th verse. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 10th verse. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 10th verse. And it reads as thus, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. My brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer. As we share on the sermon subject today, run to it. Run to it, or hashtag higher ground. Higher ground. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, run to it. Run to it. Turn to somebody else, say, run to it. Run to it. Let us look to the Lord God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this, your power. We thank you, God, for your grace and your love. Now, God, in Jesus' name, grab a hold of me and use me to your honor, to your glory. God, send fire from heaven. Send the preacher. Send the Holy Ghost. God, in spite of my limitations, God, speak a word of revelation. Save, heal, deliver, set the captive free. And we'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Run to it. My brothers and my sisters, it's been some time in this nation. It's been some season. It's been some time. Whether you're dealing with Harvey or whether everyone's worried about Irma right now, and we are keeping in prayer our brothers and our sisters all throughout who have been impacted throughout the Caribbean path, all those who are in Florida right now and all within the path of Irma, that they're even looking at Jose. As we're looking at all of these hurricanes, as we're looking at all of these storms, as we're looking at all of this flooding, it's been some kind of a season. It's an interesting time because you have some people who would try to act as if this is just normal for us to have this type of storm after storm after storm. You have some who would try to totally contradict anything about global warming. I want to thank God. Our own Dr. Leonard Pitts wrote a significant article in the Miami Herald dealing with the fact that this, we are not hallucinating some of the scientific data, but that there are some serious issues here that we need to deal with. It's an interesting thing as I sat and I watched my brothers and my sisters in Houston underwater, as I called my brothers and my sisters in Houston who were telling me what was happening in the Texas region, as I have been calling my brothers and my sisters in the Florida area, or even as we deal with my brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, our own Minister Michael Turnbull, who used to be here at Community of Hope, who is in the British Virgin Islands on Tortola, said that 95% of that island was decimated. I'm talking about and as we sit and we pray for our brothers and our sisters all along the journey, it has caused me to realize that even as we look at what's happening in the natural, there are some things in the spiritual that we can learn along the journey. It's an interesting thing, my brothers and my sisters, because as I sat and I reflected and I looked at the flooding, it caused me to realize and deal with the conversation about floodplains and table plains. It dealt me with the issue of the fact that there are some areas that are low-lying areas, and in those low-lying areas that you can see that there's a need when in the midst of a flood to get to a higher altitude. There's a need to get to a higher area because the low-lying areas flood first. It's an interesting thing because if you look, the World Bank had a study that says floods, earthquakes, and tsunamis and other extreme natural disasters will be pushing 26 million people into poverty every year. That one of the biggest factors around poverty in the world are natural disasters. And what they showed was that natural disasters impact those who have less more than they impact those who have more. There's an economics around natural disasters, because if you have an impact, if it costs you a dollar, or if you lose $100 worth of stuff, losing $100 worth of stuff means more to you when you own less than if you own a whole lot. If you lose $100 worth of stuff, but all you have is $101 worth of stuff, then that means more to you than somebody who owns $1,000 worth of stuff who lost $100 worth of stuff. Is that making sense to somebody? And so there's a need for us to be able to look in this world at the fact and the impact of natural disasters. But even as I was looking at natural disasters, even as I was looking at this concept of what it meant to live in lower ground, most people live in lower ground, make less because property costs more in higher elevations. The higher ground costs more, and while you live in floodplains, that costs less. And so what you will find, we can learn anything from Katrina, is what we found in New Orleans was what? That the neighborhoods that got flooded were our neighborhoods, because our people lived in the areas in which they were impoverished. And so therefore, if you live in lower elevations, lower floodplains, you end up getting set up even more. And so there's this need, the significance, this understanding of what it means to get to higher what? Ground. It's an interesting thing, because I looked at and I reflected upon this piece in higher ground. Bishop Carolyn Shewell was talking to us this week at the conclave, and she talked about how what you do is you look first in the natural and then to the spiritual. The things happen in the natural, that it's a pastor's job to be able to discern, to be able to show some revelation or give us some insight in the spiritual to help us along our journey. And that caused me to be able to look at this scripture right here in Proverbs, the 18th chapter in the 10th verse, in which it said, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. As I looked at this concept of higher ground, I realized that this issue of higher ground, Reverend Bowers, is not something that's just about storms, but this issue of higher ground is something that folks have realized higher ground has been a tactical advantage for years and for centuries and for millennia. Because most times when people would build a fortress, they would put it on what? An elevation, on higher ground, because it's harder to be able to attack you when you're on higher ground. That you can be able to shape your tower, what you call a fortified tower, on what? Higher ground. And today I've come to talk to somebody today, because I've come to let you know that the scripture talks about the fact that the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. It is a high tower. It is a place that you can go to safety. And it says that the righteous run to it and are saved. That many of us in our lives, many of us are going through storms, many of us are going through battles, and we are feeling a lack of safety. Many of us are going through situations in our life, and we don't feel that we are in the place that we need to be. But I've come by to tell you, you've got a place that you can run to be able to be who God has called you to be. That you've got a place that you can run to that's a place of safety. You've got a place that you can run to that's a place of refuge. You've got a place that you can run to. The Bible says, for you have been my refuge and a strong tower against the foe. That you've got a place that you can run to be able to get all that God has called you to get. One of the first things you've got to understand, if you're going to be able to understand and be all that God has called you to be, is that there's power in higher ground. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's power in higher ground. There's power in higher ground. What do you mean, Reverend? There used to be a song, and as I was sitting and reflecting upon all this stuff, it made me remember this old song the old saints used to sing. Say, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. No higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on what? Higher ground. That the old saints used to understand that there are some situations I can't stay where I am, but God, I've got to help you to help me to get to what? Higher ground. That right now, God, I'm in a place of vulnerability. Right now, God, I'm in a situation, in a place in which things can be shaped against me. But I'm so glad today that God has some higher ground for you. And I'm glad today that I talked to you about the fact that there's an economy of higher ground. And I talked to you about in the natural that you need to make a certain amount of money to be on the higher ground. But I'm so glad today that the Bible doesn't talk about the person who is paid can get the higher ground. It says the people who are righteous run to higher ground. And if you understand that, then you you understand it does not matter what your financial situation looks like, that God is able to take care of you in the midst of your situation. Is there anybody here today that knows that it's not about your financial situation? It's not about your hookups. It's not about who you know. It's not about how paid you are. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about what school you went to. It's not about what neighborhood you live in. But I've come by to tell somebody that God has got higher ground that's waiting for you. And all you've got to do is run to it. And all you've got to do, the Bible says, as the righteous, Lord have mercy, run to it. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The first thing you've got to understand, it's for you. The second thing is you've got to run to it and not from it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're running in the wrong direction. You're running in the wrong direction. Reverend Bill, one of the things that startles me in the spiritual is you have folks that are dealing with a flood situation, a storm situation, and instead of running higher, they keep running lower. It would not make sense if there is a flood for you to run to the lowest elevation, but it would make sense for you to run up the hill, not down the hill. Does that make sense to somebody? But the challenge for too many of us is that in our life, when a storm comes, we following fools who are running downhill. That we're following fools in situations and we're trying to be like them instead of seeing how we can get what to higher ground. But I've come by to tell somebody that when you find there to be a storm in your life, that when Harvey or Irma comes up in your life and you find that the floods are starting to come, the storms are starting to rage in your life, you've always got to ask yourself, which direction is higher ground? When they start to talk about you on your job, which direction is higher ground? When they start to backbite about you, which direction is higher ground? When your friends start to stab you in your back, which direction is higher ground? I've come by to let you know, it may not feel good to run to higher ground. It may not be easy to run to higher ground, but higher ground is the place you need to get to. Let me help somebody. It's always easier running downhill. It's always easier running downhill. Here, because you have less going against you. It's harder to run uphill, but safety is at higher ground. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop running after them fools. Stop doing what the fools do. But you've got to run to what? Higher ground. You've got to run to it, not from it. The last thing I'm up out of here is you've got to realize the power isn't in the ground, but it's in the name. What do you mean, Reverend? It messed me up because I was sitting here and I was looking at the fact that they said the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. So therefore, we're running to what? Higher ground. We're running to get into what? The fortified tower. Because I learned something about building construction plans. And I learned that you need to be able to build and construct your building in a way that's hurricane ready. And what I found out in Bermuda, Reverend Bill, is that in Bermuda, the architectural prerequisites are higher than in other areas because they're in a hurricane area. And so because they're usually used to dealing with storms, they build their buildings even stronger to deal with the fact that storms may come. God is a fortified tower that is built to handle the storm. The Bible says the name of the Lord, Lord have mercy, is a fortified tower that not just is it on high ground so it can keep you from the floods, but it can also handle the winds. Is there somebody in here that you've had some winds raging in your life? But I've come by to let you know the Lord's name is a fortified tower. Now what gets me, Reverend Bill, is a scripture. I thought it would say the Lord is a fortified tower. But the Bible says the Lord's name, Lord have mercy, is a fortified tower. I said, oh, is that why? I need to say in the name of Jesus. But it was not just the fact that it's the actual name. It's not just the fact that I can say Yahweh and it's like some kind of supernatural magic trick. It's not just like I can say God. And it's like some supernatural magic trick that all of a sudden I'm in a fortified tower. But what I realize is when it said the Lord's name is a fortified tower, it meant the character of God, the characteristics of God. And when you run to the characteristics of God, it's like running to a fortified tower. Okay, I know that went over your head. Let me come back for you. You see, I remember as a young man, as I was growing up, my father used to always tell me and Reverend Bill, you are the sons of Lee. You are the Lee brothers. You carry my name, and my name is a good name. And you've got to understand that when you step in certain places and you walk in my name, it's going to mean something. I always thought initially that just meant that because he was my daddy, everybody knew his name. But what I came to realize later was he wasn't just talking about his name Orlando. He wasn't just talking about the last name Lee, but he was saying that Lee had characteristics that it meant something, that a Lee man was a stand-up man, that a Lee man took care of his women, that a Lee man took care of his community, that a Lee man didn't look for excuses, but a Lee man fought and he did not give up. That it caused me to understand that there was something about being a Lee man. I thought that was just with my daddy, but as I got older, I realized that wasn't just my daddy's characteristic, but it was his daddy's characteristic. And his daddy had taught him that you're a Lee, and that means something. And because you carry my name, that means something in some high places. My father was telling me the story of there was a time in which he wanted to be stationed in Florida. He was stationed in Florida, and he wanted to be moved up here and to be in the honor guard in the Air Force in D.C. He had a wife who wanted to raise his family in D.C. He called his daddy. His daddy, Lord have mercy, worked at the Attorney General's office. He was a head steward for the Attorney General. He told his father what he wanted to be able to do. His father said, hold on a second, and talk to the Assistant Attorney General. The Assistant Attorney General said, tell your son to go back and to pack his bags. And as he packs his bags, I'm getting ready to send down an order to bring him on up. And my father said he went down and he packed his bags. He packed his bag, and his commander came to him and said, Lee, what are you doing? And in the interest, he called him by his name. He said, Lee, what are you doing? He said, I was told to pack my bags. That my father told me to pack my bags because something was about to happen. The commander told him, don't you pack your bags. You gonna be here. I don't know who you think you are. My daddy said he didn't care who the commander was. He knew who his daddy was, and he kept on packing his bags. The commander got upset and walked out in a fit, but he went back, made a phone call, and he came back and told my father, Lee, your plane is almost ready. You're about to get up out of here. Because my father knew that his father had a good name. And when his father told him something, his father's characteristics said his father could be able to make it happen. Somebody say, well, that just means that he had the hookup. Well, let me show you the hookup. You see, he was with the Attorney General's office. There was another time my father came to the Attorney General's office, wanted to just say hello. And my grandfather told my father, would you like to meet the Attorney General? My father said, well, I might as well. Walked up into the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General was sitting with his feet kicked up on the desk in a short sleeve shirt. Attorney General hopped up and said, you Lee, you Orlando Lee, I know who you are. My father said, I know who you are too. You Bobby Kennedy. Oh, have I got somebody in here that knows that when you got a good name, it'll put you before great people? Somebody in here, you've got to know the name of the Lord is a fortified tower, and God will take care of you. Have I got anybody in here that's glad we're not in the Old Testament, but knows that when we stepped up into the New Testament, we got another name that we're able to call on, and his name is Jesus? And at that name, every knee will bow. At that name, every tongue. We'll confess there's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's power. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Run to it. Don't you run away from it. run to it, and you shall be saved. Stand all over the church, all that are able, all that are